Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Neal, one of the co-owners of Peterborough United. I must warn you that the Yellow Block podcast contains some strong language and adult themes. So be warned and enjoy.
Welcome to the Yellow Block, a Peterborough United podcast. I'm Tim, and I'm joined by Peterborough's favourite adopted Northerner, Mr. Dan Weldon.
Evening.
Also delighted to welcome back to the pod, Nathan.
Evening. Thank you for having me again.
No worries. It's a pleasure. And we're also delighted to be joined by Peterborough United co-owner, Mr. Jason Neal.
Hi. Thanks very much for inviting me.
No worries. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good.
Good. Perfect. So you're in Canada at the moment, due to fly over this way this week, I believe.
Yeah. I leave tomorrow. So I'll be there for the Tuesday game and the next four games after that. So very much looking forward to that.
And the fact you said you'll be there for the Tuesday game would suggest that we've got some sort of confirmation there that we've got a game on Tuesday, which is...
I certainly hope so. So there you go. That's an exclusive for you.
Right off the bat, we've got a game on Tuesday. Anyway, fifth appearance for yourself on the Yellow Block. Good to be back.
Yeah.
Good. Marvellous. We don't need any elaboration. Yes, it's absolutely fine. We'll take that.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Good. Now, we've already touched on the fact that we've hopefully now got a game Tuesday night. There's been no football this weekend. We were just talking before we started recording there about the fact that you sort of heard murmurings of this on Thursday, but there was nothing official, and the EFL had to obviously gather their thoughts before making an opinion. It seems to have been not overly well received by the footballing public in terms of no football this weekend. I could understand the reasons why, of course, but I think the fact that sport hasn't necessarily been unified and other sports have carried on has left us some confusion. What's your take on this weekend?
I think it's a very difficult question the Premier League and the FA and the EFL were posed with, right? Because there is no right answer. Whatever answer you picked, people were going to be unhappy. You have to remember that the Queen was the head of the FA, and there was my dog in the background again. I think on balance, it was probably the right decision. You know, I was personally affected. I was meant to travel, which I postponed, but it's just one weekend, and we have to all understand that's all it is, really. But to put it into context, we've lost an icon of Britain. I grew up with the Queen. Don't think I've ever, never known anybody else as head of state in my lifetime. So,
yeah, here's a valid point. Yeah, no, here, definitely, it's a valid point. It's easy to get hung up in the frustration of not getting football on, but like you say, it is only one weekend, and after the last 2 years, it's we know that there's football coming in a matter of days, so I suppose it's keeping that in mind. last time you came on, you spoke to myself, that was just after the promotion to the Championship. We were still on cloud nine following that day against Lincoln. Since then, obviously, we've been relegated back to League One. A bit of a mixed start. Thoughts on the season so far?
Well, you have to remember we've played some pretty tricky away games, right? A long trip to Plymouth and then Derby and Portsmouth. So not easy places to go to. We've been competitive in all of those games that we've lost. And on another day, we could have got something out of any of those games quite easily. We have a target to try to achieve 12 points out of every 18 in a six-game sequence. So we did that in the first six games. Obviously, we've got to win four out of the next five to do that again. But you know, we're all very positive and optimistic about how the season's going to unfold as we go forward.
That's interesting. So 12 out of every 18 is the target. So it's those 18 point sort of blocks in terms of benchmarking performance.
Yeah, I've probably given away something from the gaffer here. So now you've got another scoop for the night. but yes, the way they approach it is they try to ensure that they get to a minimum of 12 points from every six games.
Well, four from the next five is absolutely potential is realistic, I believe, certainly looking at the fixtures that we've got up, if we include the postponed Forest Green one. Mm-hmm. As well, we do need to talk, Jason, about last season and the frustrations, I guess, that were felt throughout the club, obviously for you guys right down to the fan base, and everyone involved in the club was frustrated at the end of last season. What's your take on last year and your first outing in the Championship now that you've had a bit of time to dissect what happened?
Well, firstly, it's a tough league, isn't it? So, you know, it's no one can really understand the step up from League One to the Championship until you actually do it. And I'm sure it's a similar step up when you go from the Championship to the Premier League. You're playing some really, really big clubs. And I the games I went to, I really enjoyed the atmosphere, which is just, you know, fantastic. Could have we done things differently? Possibly. I'm sure we could have done. I think we started okay. At one point, it was looking like we were going to be in the top six after maybe three or four games, and we didn't because we lost a key game. And we ended really well. It was just unfortunately the part in the middle was so long and so disappointing. Could have we changed managers in the middle? Possibly. All owners get accused of being very trigger happy and not loyal to their managers. Were we too loyal? I don't know. I can say that in the last, I think, six or seven games where Grant was the manager, we had top six form. So if we could have replicated those last six or seven games throughout the whole season, we would have ended up in the playoffs. So clearly the squad and the team was capable of staying up. So, you know, it's a big disappointment to me and to all the other owners and all the fans and everybody in the city. It really was 12 months from euphoria to bitter disappointment. But it would be wonderful to get promoted at the end of the season and to do it in front of the fans, which we weren't able to do the last time, with your exception of Tim there. But it'd be wonderful to do it again. So we have to stay positive and really look to the future.
Yeah, absolutely. You're quite right. And the Peterborough fan base, it's never been backwards in coming forwards and expressing opinion. I'm sure that's probably every club. It's probably not exclusive to Posh. I guess one thing I did want to talk to you about is when you and I spoke after the promotion, you mentioned there were some great sound bites in there, particularly about aiming top half, giving the manager that expectation, and then were we to fall slightly short, it would still be, by all intents and purposes, a successful season. Do you think, in hindsight, that maybe yourself and the other owners perhaps put expectations in the fan base a little bit too high going into the Championship, and therefore, when we ended up in the relegation zone and consistently the performances weren't great, it felt like more of a frustration?
Yeah, possibly you can say that, but I go back to what I just commented on. The last six or seven games of the season, we were very competitive. So had we been like that throughout the whole of the season, and even the first two or three games of the season, we were competitive. I remember being at Cardiff, and I think they scored at home to Cardiff. They scored in the last minute of the game. I was there with my daughter, and my daughter couldn't understand the Cardiff chants, which we obviously can't repeat on this podcast, but were very entertaining, as you only get in a football stadium. But You know, it could have ended very differently. I think the margin between where we ended up and lower end of the middle table is not as dramatic as people think. Sure, it is to the Fulhams and the Bournemouths, etc. But you know, the rest of the league was pretty consolidated, and you can see that by what's happened to Coventry last year and what's happened to them this year.
And I guess, kind of following on from that, because you're absolutely right of what you say there, particularly about the gap. Do you think that realistically we are close to being sustained as a Championship football club? Obviously, as fans, we believe one thing and we certainly hope for one thing, but you take a more objective view to it. You have to in your position. Now you've been there, do you believe that it is realistic that we're likely to sustain ourselves there in the next few years?
I do. I mean, Peterborough is, the 20th biggest city in the United Kingdom. So it's a pretty big population base. There's nearly a million people that live in Cambridgeshire. So it can certainly support a Championship team. I think I read some statistic there's like 800,000 people within 30-minute drive or something like that. So there's a terrific number of people. And we can definitely sustain definitely support a Championship team. It's about getting back there and maybe learning some of the lessons of our previous experience and cementing our place. And you know, I think we can do that.
Sure. And at the risk of sounding like a job interview, Jason, it's something I've asked you a couple of times, and I've also asked Dara and Randy as well. It's that 10-year question. 10 years from now, you and I are sat down talking again. Where's the club at that point, do you imagine?
Well, at that point, we've done some of the things we set out to do. So we bought the ground. We've achieved Championship football, although we've obviously been relegated since then. We've achieved a Cat 2 status academy, which I'm personally really proud of, and what's coming out of that academy now. And where we would be in 10 years, I think we'd like to be a top half Championship team with a new stadium. And you know, having an opportunity to flirt with the playoffs and maybe achieve the promised land.
That would be great. 10 years, I would take 10 years time for flirting with the promised land. I think that's got to be the dream and that's got to be the aim. And I guess it's reassuring that despite the frustration of last year, that's still where you're aiming. It would be easy, and I think most people could understand if you said 10 years time, we just want to be fighting in the Championship. The fact that you're still looking up is encouraging for that. You mentioned about the academy. At Eric Hodnitz got in touch on Twitter. Says, now that Posh's academy has achieved a Category 2 status and the Dome is complete, what are the next targets for youth development at the club?
That's a very good question, and that's something we're working on now, because obviously we had the goal to achieve Cat 2 status. Our long-term goal, if not even medium-term, is to graduate 3 players a year into the first team. And we've graduated 2 players for the last 2 years, and we want to keep that up. So I think that has to remain the goal. And it's really about how do we support Kieran and the rest of the academy staff in achieving that. And we've had some wonderful achievements. I don't know if you know where the academy was about 10 years ago in terms of rankings. It was actually number 67.
Was it 67th, I believe, if memory serves me right.
Very, very good memory, Tim. Yeah. So 67 out of 72 EFL academies, which basically meant we were the bottom, because at that time some clubs didn't have an academy. Mm. And we're now 15th in the EFL, wow. Which is, you know, is quite incredible. You know, we've had, I think, 10 youth team players make up part of our squad now, and that's nearly 35%. So basically a third of the squad is made up of youth team graduates. And why that's important is, firstly, those players have a great affinity with the fans, right? Fans love to see kids come through their academy, and they hopefully give them a lot more slack. From a commercial point of view, they are very cheap. In fact, the Premier League actually pays us to develop them. So, you know, it's a real plus. And then we have the upside of the fact that at some point we can sell them to another club. Which we have to do, because, you know, we're not Man United or Man City. And part of our part of our draw to prospective kids is come to us, we'll develop you, and then we'll give you an opportunity to go and play in a bigger club.
That's really interesting to hear, actually, the way that it works, because we always knew when it was just Dara driving the ship that it was very, very clear our policy was very much buy from the lower leagues, develop, and then sell on. So to have that sort of second prong, I guess, to the attack is really interesting and makes complete sense for all the reasons that you just mentioned. Just circling back around to what we were saying about last season, and you touched on the manager, you touched on Darren and how that went. How do you look back at the relationship with Darren, and how, because obviously we shared some great times. You shared some great times with Darren. I remember that day against Lincoln City. How do you look back now at Darren's stint, and moreover, I guess, how it ended?
Well, for me, it personally ended. I was on a 9-day football holiday with my best mate from Vancouver, and our goal was to go to a football game every day for 9 days, which was quite an achievement and a challenge at times, but we managed to do it. If I count a U23 Peterborough game on one of the first days. And I actually got a text as I sat down in my seat for Leeds versus Manchester United. For our Sunday game, about the fact that Darren had resigned. We tried everything to keep him, and we wanted to keep him. We wanted to enable him to see it through, and we believed that he could have turned us around, even though we'd had a run of really poor results. I think the previous day we'd lost to Derby in the 90th or 92nd minute. That's to be one of my worst days in football. We wanted to keep him. We were disappointed that he left, but we have to respect his decision. We still all have a really good relationship with him. I have a lot of respect for him, and we had to move on, and so we had to quickly recruit someone in a similar ethos to Darren, someone who would, you know, look at our dual prong process in the club, which is A, to develop our youth players, and B, to buy players from other clubs and develop them. Yeah. Not just get out of the checkbook.
I guess there's a couple of things to touch on there, and it's not me so much looking for controversy, more just trying to get the inner workings, I suppose, which obviously the fans look for. The appointment of Grant, you mentioned about you had to obviously do that quickly, had to move quickly because it came as a shock with Darren. What was Grant always the first choice? Was it because he'd been there before? Was it because he fit the bill? Was it a long shortlist, or was Grant choice A?
So we had about 100 applicants, or more than 100 applicants. Absolutely incredible. All of us individually received different applicants. And it was a shortlist of one, and Grant was on it. We had, as I say, Grant on our shortlist. We interviewed him. I think we all interviewed him independently. We're all impressed with him. Obviously, Darren knew him very well from his previous stint. Shortlist of one, and we were delighted he signed on with us. Perfect. He also bought Cliff as well, and Cliff doesn't get the recognition that he deserves, but.
Yeah, we've talked about Cliff. We talked about Cliff actually on this podcast this season, because there's a definite switch with mentality, which we've been attributing to Cliff. They very much seem to play good cop, bad cop, looking from outside in, which seems to work. Just finally with Darren, because obviously there's no benefit really to kind of digging up the past, but you mentioned about you still have a good relationship with him, and you all still respect him, as I'm sure everyone does at the club. What was your view when he did an article recently whereby he hinted at the fact that maybe he didn't necessarily get the resources that he thought he was going to get? And he felt slightly let down, I guess, in terms of the way that the end of his tenure played out.
Well, I think that we try to recruit every player that he wanted and was suitable for him. He was fully supportive of signing extended contracts with our existing team at the end of the season. He wanted to reward them. And, you know, we've all got to support that and applaud that. And then in January, when we tried to recruit additional players, it was very challenging. And it was challenging because we were in the bottom three. So it wasn't like the allure of, hey, would you like to go and play for Bournemouth or Fulham or even, you know, someone in mid-table, even Coventry, for example. It was, would you like to come and play for a team that's going to fight relegation? And if you're not successful, you're going to have a relegation on your CV. And if you are, maybe you're going to finish fifth from bottom or sixth from bottom. Mm. So, again, it's not going to be a great resume. It was tough. And I know that Dara and Barry worked incredibly hard. And they do work incredibly hard behind the scenes to try to bring players in. We brought some in, and you know, perhaps they weren't as wonderful as we would have expected and imagined. But it's not a formula-driven piece of analysis, right? Where you can run a computer program and look at the outcome and then say, "Oh, I don't like that outcome. Let's have a different piece of the jigsaw."
Sure, and I guess with your engineering background, that must be quite frustrating having to introduce so many human elements. Yeah, absolutely. You talked about Dara there. How is Dara? How's the relationship between the three owners at the moment?
Yeah, good. And Dara's always good. He's worked tirelessly, very hard over the transfer window period. We managed to retain some of our key assets, which was good. And I think it's the only year where we've ever had a recruitment meeting. And we've ended up with the majority of our first targets, which is quite impressive.
And obviously you're flying to the UK this week. Dara's just left. Is that a conscious thing? Is it a case of changing of the guard, or is that just how it works out?
Yeah, it's just how it works out. We were both in the UK during the summer. We went to a number of games together. I wanted to fly back to Canada, I think, in July to enjoy the rest of the Canadian summer, which is, you know, very pretty here, very warm. That's now ended. Kids are back to school. So it's a good time for me personally to visit the UK.
To head back through. And is it, it seems like we have quite defined roles in terms of who does what in the management. Dara very much seems to be the football man. Jared picked up on a comment that Dara made on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, and this could very much be Jared putting two and two together to make five. Dara seemed to make reference to going alone, and he sort of seemed to make reference to feeling quite isolated. And again, this is Jared's take on this. Is there any change in the relationship? Are you still working together successfully as a trio at the moment?
Yeah. And there's certainly no change at this point. There's barely a day that goes by without some message or telephone call or WhatsApp message between us. So.
Fab. I imagine an ownership group chat, which is probably probably quite amusing. I'm sure fans would pay good money to be in that ownership group chat at the end of
it. It's not always amusing after some results.
Right? No, well, we know that Dara's not afraid to speak his mind, so I'm quite sure that people get dressed down in messages and group chats. Yeah, one listener question that we have.
It remains there.
Yeah, absolutely. One question that we have had a fair bit about the hierarchy and the sort of structure at the club at the moment is about the CEO. So you may have guessed this question was potentially coming. Chris Garner, 1985, says, "What's going on with the CEO? If you can't confirm details, then maybe even confirm if it's likely we're going to get a new one." So this is, of course, we put a new CEO in place, and then something happened, which we're not privy to as a fan base. What's the state of play with the CEO at the moment?
Well, David's taking a short-term sabbatical to deal with a personal issue. That's taking a bit longer than we anticipated, and we're going to await the outcome of his own personal issue that he's going through.
Okay, fair enough. So it's very much a case of a CEO is still in place, just at the moment he's having to take some time away. Fair
yeah,
enough.
Currently in place, but he's on a sabbatical. I can't imagine it's going to last much longer, but we'll see.
No worries. Okay, that's fine. And McEwen 1171 says, "Are you and Randy in a position where you're able to buy Dara out and run the club between yourselves?" I guess I would elaborate onto that with, would you want to run the club yourselves?
I mean, it's an awful lot of work, right? So I'm not sure I would want to run it myself. I really enjoy the activities I'm involved in at the club, on the finance side, on the youth academy side. Which is a lot of fun. I'm very proud of the outcomes on both of those fronts.
Perfect. A cracking answer. I like that. It's a brilliant way of staying where you need to with that good answer. One obviously big factor when we put out to the listener base about you coming on, Jason, and one question that comes up repeatedly, and I'm sure you get many times, is about the stadium. So any update on where we are with the stadium?
So we've, as we all know, we've completed part of the master plan activity. So we were a big contributor to that with Peterborough City Council. That's now been published. And I think the next steps are for them to assess where the optimal location for a future stadium is. It's a long process, I would say that. And obviously the club's been impacted by.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
COVID and the hangover from COVID, so we've kind of slowed down a little bit. And we hope to re-engage in that process in the coming months.
Perfect. Wonderful. And one other question that we've had in, this could potentially be controversial because I don't know the background, so I apologise in advance if it is. It's come from Aidy Mole. So he's saying, is it true you resigned as director of Old Kent Road Financial, the company who funded the purchase of the ground? And if so, will this have any effect on the new stadium? And are we allowed to call it a stadium or an arena?
So I don't think it'll affect the new stadium. And yeah. You can call it what you like. I'm going to call it a multi-purpose function arena and stadium. So just to make sure
that's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful, but it's hard to get anybody upset by having so many words in it, but I'm sure it's possible. Yes, it's true. I've decided to pursue a number of other opportunities that I'm working on, but it shouldn't affect the new arena or stadium at all.
Perfect. And I seem to get all the rough questions to throw at you.
That's okay.
But one criticism that the club has faced this year following the issue of the bonds is the safe standing, which has been controversial, shall we say, in terms of its implementation. Where do you stand on safe standing in London Road at the moment?
Well, firstly, a big kudos to our operations team and everyone in the club who actually delivered that project. In a really tight time frame under difficult conditions, we're actually the first club to implement safe standing on an existing terrace, which is an achievement. Is it perfect? Yeah, that's up to the interpretation of the fan. Are we working to make it better? Yes.
Perfect. Another solid answer, which can make a great soundbite. Which I'm right in thinking that the yellow block has been painted blue, though, Jason, I believe. Somebody told me the other day that the yellow seats have been painted blue.
Has it?
I need to know if this is the case. And if this is, then I'm sorry, but that's, you know, we need to kick up about that.
You have to rebrand yourself, the blue
brand. Yeah, I don't know what we'd call ourselves, really. What was it you said at the start? Attractive, sexy microphones. Maybe we could go with that. Kind of a tribute boy band app, isn't it? Dan, Nathan, have you got any questions you wanted to fire at Jason? I know you have, Dan. You've been messaging me.
I mean, the question that I had was, obviously, we mentioned about Dara maybe potentially moving on. He's kind of intimated that a few times, especially on his own podcast. I kind of just wondered, you know, if he does do that, how is, you know, the club and your kind of relationship going to change in terms of an ownership? Is, you know, would you look to bring someone else in? You know, would you carry on, as Tim potentially mentioned, you know, just the two of you? Or, you know, how is that relationship going to change in terms of you guys and obviously with the club as well?
Well, firstly, as you alluded to there, he says that every year. so certainly I've been involved in the club for 5 years now. I don't think there is a summer where a transfer window is closed where he hasn't said that.
Yeah.
So We'll have to wait and see whether it's real or not. I don't think it is, but we'll have to just wait and see. And we'll have to deal with whatever comes our way in that event, right? So yeah. What would change? Well, obviously, it would be a big change, and we would very much miss him. But I'm not sure it's going to happen.
I absolutely love the fact that you've just said that, Jason. Like every fan across the country says every summer, oh, Dara's said that again, and it kind of loses its
appeal. Well, you have to give him credit, right? Because he works incredibly hard over the summer, and it's relentless, and it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's been there 15 years now, 15 summer transfers. Him and Barry have been doing the same gig over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Just different players, but it's essentially the same activity. And it's hard work for them.
No, the problem is, of course, one day, as Nathan says there, he is going to be serious, isn't he? That's the problem. And I guess, if I'm being completely honest with you, Jason, when yourself and Randy came into the club, I think certainly myself, and I know other fans were the same, a lot of us looked at that situation and thought, this is Dara's exit route. He's going to be leaving the club in the next 12 to 24 months. And I remember in your very first interviews that you did with Phil Adlam at the club, you squashed that straight away. But as a fan base, it was very much, no, this is Dara wanting to leave. And you know, these two newcomers are going to be they're going to be the club's next owners, they're going to be the club's next option. So I guess it's been a surprise for a lot of the fan base that he is still in place and that he does still seem to have that same passion and that same want. Do you get the impression that he's in it for the long run still?
Yes, I do. But obviously, you know, things can change and we'd have to, as I say, in that event, we'd have to deal with that at the time. But I don't foresee it in the immediate future.
But a plan must be in place, right? When you came into the club, there must have been a discussion of an exit.
There's never been any discussions along those lines.
Okay.
And people that know Dara say that when we started to participate, he's become more invigorated because obviously he's got less things to do. Because some of the burden of these activities, and there's a lot of them, can now be taken up by other people.
Fair enough. Good answers again. Dan?
Yeah, I guess I've got a few questions, but I'll focus on what we're already talking about. Obviously, you know, Dara sorts a lot of the transfer activity through the club. Are there any sort of transfers or at least sort of approaches from other clubs that have happened over the summer that we've not been made aware of? Obviously, you know, the Ronnie Edwards stuff on deadline day was publicised in sort of, you know, the media by Romano as well as Sky Sports. But is there any stuff that we don't know about?
Yes.
Can you tell us?
No.
Excellent.
That's not much of a soundbite, is it? I'm sorry. Yeah, we've had multiple offers for multiple players, which is what you would expect.
Fair enough.
And frankly, if we weren't having multiple offers for multiple players, and pretty significant ones at times, we would have a problem. We would be more concerned.
I suppose, like you said, that's your normal transfer window, isn't it, in terms of having those offers in. I guess you must go into a transfer window with your recruitment meetings, knowing which players are likely to bring that attraction. I suppose the manager must make plans based on, I'm expecting player X to go, I'm expecting player Y to go, and then I guess it's kind of up to you guys and Barry to either make that happen or try to keep them on, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't actually want to lose any players during this transfer, other than the players that were listed by the club. And we pretty much achieved that goal. Obviously, we didn't with Sammy, and that's unfortunate, but we couldn't stand in his way. He had a much bigger and better opportunity, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jason, you asked me when we were arranging this if you could put our knowledge to the test. So I understand that you've got something in place in terms of testing how bad of fans we are, which, let's be honest, it's not going to be hard to catch us out here. I believe you have a quiz of some sort lined up.
I do, because my favourite part of this was the yellow blockbusters, I think you called it.
Yeah, petition to bring that back then, isn't it?
I would play at home or in the car, and often I would beat you guys. Not all the time. Kisby was always very good. I think he was pretty good at this.
That's because he's older than the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite fun. I quiz, and I actually have a prize for you. Here I dug it out from the archives, and the winner of this quiz is going to get this framed, signed.
Oh wow! Look at that.
By JCH, this is his iconic goal. I've got one of these on my wall, signed by him just after the promotion winning penalty that obviously Tim you remember quite well.
So yeah, that was my Facebook cover photo for a long time. That
picture. Yeah, well now you can hang this in your wherever your spouse wants you or allows you to hang it. My office. Okay, so I've got five questions, and the way this is going to work is get a pen and paper. It's an honor system, so no cheating, no Googling, and no changing your answers. Let me know when you're ready.
I've got a post-it note. Is that big enough?
Yeah, that's okay. So who was the most valuable sale from the Posh Academy?
Oh, that's not only a great question, but that's very much a Jason Neil question as well. That is right there. Okay. I like that.
So this is
across our entire history?
Our history.
I'm going to throw a curve.
Not the entire history. Just my participation in the club.
Recent past.
Within the last 5 years, who was the most valuable sale from the academy? Okay, you're done?
That is tough. I'm trying to think who it could be.
Yeah.
I don't want to get this. This should be easier than that.
I think there's one, but I'm unsure. I think it's a fairly obvious one.
So there we go. Let's move on. It has to be a time loop, right? Okay, so question two. Who were the opposition in the last Peterborough game prior to the suspension of football?
Oh, that I remember that, Jason. And I know why you've picked this particular club.
Due to COVID. So who was the opposition in the last Peterborough game prior to the suspension of football due to COVID? And for bonus points, who were the scorers in the game?
Oh, yes. I know. You've lined this up perfectly for us. Okay.
Okay. All right. Number three. To the nearest 100,000, how much does the dome, or some of your listeners lovingly call it the tent, cost to build? Okay, number four. Where was Peterborough United formed in 1934? Okay, and the final question. Who is the youngest player ever to play a league game for Peterborough United? And for a bonus point, who was the opposition?
The youngest player
doesn't seem very confident
to ever play a league game.
Ever play a league game?
That's tough.
Okay.
And bonus point for the opposition. Okay, I'm taking a guess.
Right, we're ready for the answers.
Yes.
So, most valuable sale from the academy in the last 5 years is Leo da Silva Lopes.
Oh, that would have cooked.
Right, it was.
Anybody get that?
Too obvious.
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Nathan. Okay. Who were the opposition in the last Peterborough game before the suspension of football due to COVID?
So, Pompey. Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Yes, your favourite club, Jason,
exactly,
of course.
Okay.
I should have taken your hint.
And for two bonus points, who were the scorers?
So I know Ivan Toney scored,
yeah.
I want to say twice in that game. It's either once or twice. The second scorer was
Dembele?
That's a good shout.
It was Dan Butler. So Dan Butler and Ivan Toney were the scorers in the 2-0 win. So you get a point for Ivan and nothing for Dan. Okay, to the nearest 100,000, how much did the dome cost to build? Answer is 1.7 million.
Yeah.
Anybody get close to that?
2.1 I had.
So to short, I went 1 million on the nose.
Dan?
I was well over 2.6.
Okay.
Don't contract Dan to do anything, Jason.
Yeah. Where was Peterborough United formed in 1934? It was the Angel Hotel. That is courtesy of Wikipedia. hoping it's correct. And the youngest player to play a league game was Matthew Evington. Amazingly, 15 years and 282 days. And
I had that.
You had that? Very good.
I had Evington,
Yeah, opposition was Brentford.
Ah, I went Warsaw.
Okay, so how many points you got, Dan?
One.
Tim?
Three.
Three? Nathan?
I had three as well.
No, he's got his tiebreaker.
Okay, so I got a tiebreaker in the tradition of the yellow box. So first person to tell me who sued the club in 2002?
Posh and Becks.
Correct, I'll give you that.
Sued the club? What? Because of the posh name?
Yeah. Victoria Beckham sued the club for infringement on copyright for using the name Posh, and she lost. So, Nathan, I shall be bringing you this.
Thank you very, very much.
And, I'll leave it with the club in reception.
Lovely.
And just feel free to pick it up.
Well done, Nathan. Now, if you don't donate that to charity, we'll judge you. Congratulations. Well, no, I enjoyed that. They were fantastic questions. The Portsmouth one, particularly, that was. I don't know why I remember that game so much. Maybe it was just because it was the last one before it all went a little bit wrong. I don't know, but
that was my favorite game. My favorite player scoring against my favorite opposition.
So we need. We need the yellow blockbusters back, Jason. That's what you're saying.
I think you need that back. Yeah, so we can all play at home.
Fair enough. I guess I think the problem was it was running out of questions that was the challenge. because, as you quite rightly said, Wikipedia only holds so much information. So, but we've got a new pool of players that we can dig into. We can find out where, I don't know, Jack Taylor went to school and throw that into the question. Or something like that, but interesting. I really enjoyed that. That was good fun. Thank you. Did either of you fellas have any more questions while we've got Jason?
I do, and it is sort of going back towards the start of the interview, and I do apologise for that. But you talked about as you know, trying to get back to the Championship and sustaining ourselves there. What do you think it's going to take for us to secure ourselves in that league?
I think it takes us continuing to do what we are doing. So to have a good pipeline of players, because we can't just write a check and recruit whoever we want. We just don't have the financial resources because of financial fair play as a result of that. Even if we wanted to, we're capped in terms of how much we can spend. So growing the player pool, and that comes from the two avenues we're using, the traditional avenue of the club of recruiting players and developing them, which we can now do quite well for our U23 or U21 squad, as it's now been rebranded, and our academy, and then growing the fan base as well, which we've had a big effort to in the last number of years, which is, you know, testimony to the club. The poor rabbit's been to hundreds of schools, and that really works. I mean, our season tickets are similar to what they were in the Championship, which is a real testimony to the club. So that those are two things we can do. Looking at other commercial avenues to generate secondary revenues, we're always trying to do that. And the combination of those extra resources generated internally and those extra resources in terms of player resources puts us in a good stead. And then really it's about getting to the Championship and cementing our place there.
I think as much as the owners might get criticised on social media, I can't imagine any fan can deny how much things have improved off the pitch at the club. At the risk of trying to sound like a suck up, since yourself and Randy have come in, Jason, it's a completely different club. And I remember when Dara first took over, it was very much the same. Things improved. You know, there was all these stories of players having to get changed in their cars and stuff like that. And Dara came in and changed all of that. So it kind of felt like we were in a great place off the pitch then. But what we've realised, I guess, since yourself and Randy have come on board, is just how much potential there is outside of that playing squad. And it's so nice to see that slightly bigger view. And there won't be a fan that can't see that improvement off the pitch. And I think you're quite right with what you say there. That has to form the building block for that next step. Because as you quite rightly said, that gap between League One and Championship is so huge. You can't just fill it with good players. There has to be more around that.
You just have to look at the women's game, right? When I first came into the club, I watched our women's team. I can't remember who they were playing, and there were maybe 10, 12 people standing on the sideline, around the halfway line, literally watching. Some of them peering through the fence. You remember the fence that goes around the training ground? And we've moved that to terraces so people can sit down. And then recently to have 2,200, 2,300 fans at Western Home Stadium watching a women's game. It's just incredible. So, you know, great developments all around.
Fantastic. Nathan, anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. So obviously you just mentioned about the sort of fan engagement and how we're trying to improve things with that. I just wondered, was that kind of a conscious choice? Was that something that we kind of looked into research-wise, mainly just because I've written a dissertation on it for Posh as an example. So I just kind of wondered where that came about and, you know, if that was a conscious choice from you know, both the ownership and obviously some of the club's employees as well.
Yeah, it was 100% a conscious choice. So what we did when we, pre-COVID, I think the first or second year pre-COVID, we basically revamped that program. We asked poor Phil Adam and the Rabbit to visit 75 schools in the season. And I remember Phil, he went white when I asked him to do this. And he sort of looked at me as if it was impossible. But they did it. And now recently we brought in Bobby Copping, who's taken that role on.
Yeah.
We went to, I think, more than 170 schools in this last period, when we were allowed to visit school. So just incredible, and it really works, because typically, okay, you're giving away free tickets, you're putting on a mini pantomime to kids, and you know it's attractive. They get to, you know, watch a video, participate in an event, meet the Rabbit. Many of them then attend the games, and they'll bring parents and other siblings.
Yeah.
And about 10 to 12% of those people then become season ticket holders.
Yep.
Which is just incredible. And, you know, once you're a season ticket holder, you're pretty much you're a fan for life.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you can grab them early on, you really are building that supporter base for the future.
Yeah. I mean, to jump off what Tim said, I can agree. We can completely see, you know, that improvement, especially since, you know, both of you guys came in. You know, it's, you know, night and day. And again, again, what Tim said, you know, to jump on that, I don't think there is a fan in the fan base that can't see that there's been an improvement and can't see, you know, what you guys have brought to the table. It really is, as I said, night and day.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a fun project, and we really like it. Oh, for me, it has been a bit like getting divorced, because I had to get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, led me nicely onto our last question, Jason. It's just a yes-no answer, really. Do you enjoy co-owning Peterborough United Football Club?
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
That's, yeah, it's a great privilege, and I really love it. It's not always a picnic, because obviously it's, you know, it's a real business, and with lots of important decisions to be made and lots of work. But it's great fun, and I really love it.
Even with all the abuse on social media and everybody having an opinion.
Yeah, I try to ignore that. And amazing amount of times that I've met Peterborough fans in various locations, not just in Peterborough, and they come up and thank me and say, don't listen to social media, it doesn't reflect what everyone thinks.
Yeah, it's that minority, isn't it? Unfortunately,
yeah.
But it's, I think it's, you know, it's just understanding that everyone has an opinion, and ultimately that's what makes football the game, or part of what makes football the game that we love so much, is the fact that you can pick up an opinion just from watching 30 seconds of a game, whether that opinion is right, wrong or otherwise. It's part of the charm of the sport that we love so much, isn't it? Completely different to what you've done before. So I just kind of wondered if it was something that you do enjoy, or if it is more of a hobby, or if it is still very much a business venture.
I certainly wouldn't think it's a hobby, but I do enjoy it, and I enjoy everything I work on, so I certainly enjoy this as well.
Perfect. Dan, Nathan, you guys happy?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, obviously, thank you for coming on. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, pleasure. And congratulations, Nathan. Thank you. Send me a picture of where you're hanging up.
I will do, yeah. If the missus lets me put it up anyway.
If you could also, Nathan, send us a copy of the sheet that you wrote on, just so obviously we can, you know, we're not accusing you of cheating, but just so we can vindicate that.
Trust me, no. That's fine.
Yeah, I enjoyed that quiz. It was good fun. It was really good fun. I did enjoy that. Massive thank you to Jason for joining us again. Thank you to everyone as well who submitted questions. Sorry we didn't get to them all. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. This is going on to our YouTube channel, so you can also see our gorgeous faces for the first time. But perhaps more of an advert would be the fact you can see Jason's very cute dog rather than seeing us. Now we've gone up in the world, we will hopefully be doing more video interviews going forwards as well. Do remember to rate, review, like, all that jazz on wherever you get your podcasts from. Up the posh.
'Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.